righty. I'm going to kick off this week with just a statement. And obviously, it relates. This has been storming the TikTok streets the last, probably last few months. I gotta put me first, Lucius. I gotta put me first. Thank you.
Nice. I just joined the clock app, as you know.
Wow, the tick
Yeah.
tock, tick tickety
Tick,
tock.
tick, tick, tock. And in addition to you listening, listener homegirl, the new Chitlin Circus on the TikTok app as well. So go ahead and tap in.
Yes, tap in. You can
Are we
find
ready
us
to say
at New
that?
Chitlin Circuit. Yes, we are. I'm
Okay.
uploading some TikToks this week. Yeah.
It just
Yep.
came to mind. You know what I like? Love a black woman to infinity to infinity. It's good. I
Infinite.
like that.
Try to tell y'all.
All right, so what we watched this week, Sid?
This week we tuned into The Available Wife, released 2020, currently available to stream on Tubi, directed by Jemele Hill, screenplay by Tressa Smallwood, Jemele Hill, Kiwan Cleveland, and Karen Hardin, and starring KJ Smith, Terrell Hill, Clifton Powell, Roger Gunvor Smith, and Angel Love.
All right, let's start the show.
The new Chitlin' Circuit.
Welcome back to the new Chitlin' Circuit, the only podcast dedicated to Black indies only. My name is Lex.
And I'm Sid.
And each week we watch a Black independent movie. Why do we do that? Because we love them.
Every single week. Now, to kick things off this week, we're going to start with our 60-second challenge sponsored by Lucius Lyon and his sons. We appreciate y'all looking out for that drip drop video to come out in a couple weeks.
Oh my
Every
God.
week, let me get it out. Damn, y'all.
You know what I thought your open was going to be?
What?
And I won't have my company back, Lucius. Because I was also thinking of Cookie in this movie, but then
Could be
we'll get into
like, yeah, we will.
that later.
Each week, Alexis has to explain the plot of the film we're reviewing in 60 seconds or less. But of course, there's a catch, because nothing is free. So she has only three chances to strike out each season. We've had two very successful seasons. I think you got max two strikeouts on your record last year.
Yeah, I
You
got
know.
two and a note. One was I kind of got an X, but you noted it. It was a close call last season. I almost lost my job here.
So, for those who don't know, three strikes and you're out is our rule here. We're taking it Family Feud style. So with that in mind, I'm gonna go ahead and start the clock and stop playing. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so. Let's go.
Okay, so there's a power woman, businesswoman, successful lady named come
Nicole.
on, phone up. Nicole. Thank you. Okay, now I'm on my roll. Nicole, she runs a record label. How did she acquire that record label? By very dubious means. Okay, she has a husband she don't love no more, who's just a lump on her couch, and she has this artist who she signed, who she is having an affair with. The problem is, it's all a big scheme to take her record label out from under her. So this is adultery, murder, and well, there's no love here. And that's The Available Wife.
Wow, 15 seconds left. I thought your last point was going to be, and the power of music.
Oh.
That's what I would have said.
I liked the music in the movie, but I didn't. The power of music was no match for the power of revenge.
Yes,
Okay.
that's good. That should have been the tagline for this movie,
That should,
honestly.
that would have been good. Maybe I should start doing that. You should start doing voiceover work, and I should start making movie posters and trailers.
You've been seeing all on Twitter. It's a whole thing today. People are pissed about how all of these new movie posters coming out look the same. So this
Yep.
could you could step in and really, turn the game back around, make
I
it
might
unique
could.
again.
I might could. But for today, our job is to review this one. So let's get on into our general thoughts on The Available Wife. Before we get into our review, want to take a second to thank you guys. We love hearing from you on social media. We want to thank two cast members of the movie Range Runners, who actually show some love on Instagram, and that is Tiffany Renee and Celeste M. Cooper. Absolutely loved you guys in that movie, so thanks for showing love. And Miss Odessa Rose also commented, I have to check this out. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. And we love when you guys show interest in the movies and actually go and watch them, because that way we're not just talking to ourselves, you know? All right, let's get on with the show. So, Sydney, what did you think of The Available Wife?
You know, for those who know me closely, like friends, you friend who's sitting on this other mic with me, you know this kind of music drama is right up my alley. I am probably, I'm gonna expose myself. I'm one of few people who finished Empire. I mean, top to bottom, I watched the entire series.
And Star.
And Star, but oh, don't do that. Shout out to my mentor Lee Daniels. For putting out two really great pieces of content out there. And with that in mind, just to gauge my interest in what I'm into, I just have to say up front, I love this movie. I liked it so much. The drama of it all. the scheme. The betrayal. The forbidden love. I enjoyed every second of it, and I can't wait to get into it. So those are my thoughts right up top. I want to put it out there. Alexis, what did you think of The Available Wife?
Well, I will give a contrasting preface. I don't like that type of stuff. I watched Empire with everybody, and I stopped watching Empire with everybody as well, somewhere around the middle of season two. But I still enjoyed this, so that means something for this movie. This movie is a black indie bingo board that is completely filled up. Like, somebody didn't just get bingo, they got bingo, 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 bingo. Like, all the spaces have a chip on them. You got, you know, successful woman who's, you know, bad at romance. You got a secret plot to take her down. Somebody being a decoy lover, you know, stuff like that. So, what's just not to love?
Original music, top of every episode, great music.
Original music, and the music was good, too.
Yeah.
I say it up top of every episode. It's because we love them. And I mean it. And because of that, I no notes. What can I say about this that's not positive? I don't know.
That's that. Honestly, I think this is probably one of our, because we don't always come in, at least as early in the season, with both of us being this much on board with the movie.
Yeah.
I think maybe we did Paper Friends. That was kind of early season two, but that's like the only movie that really comes to mind. Like, super early. Because
this time last
show,
year, we was watching My Side Piece Hit the Lotto, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was riveting.
I was indifferent.
I thought it was amazing.
You know.
I thought it was great, and I forced you to talk about it for an hour.
You did. You really did, and I gave all I could.
You did. That review. I loved it. Well, today we get to have some fun because we both liked the movie, and there's just so much in this plot to talk about, so I'm excited to get into these scenes.
Yes.
So the first space on the bingo board is opening scene voiceover. This movie starts out with, frankly, a stellar vocal performance.
Some exposition.
We do, because it was accompanied by some really good acting from the younger versions of her and her father and her mother. In the earlier scenes. And I always get excited when I see that something's set in DC. We both used to live in DC, and this looked like the neighborhood I just moved from, like the Parkview Petworth area.
It did.
Could be a different place, but it looked just like that. So
I
was excited. You know?
Same. Because we opened up with our girl KJ doing her voiceover, but it's dramatic, because that was the second bingo, because she gave us like upfront, you know, how did I end up in jail? here's mm-hmm. the story. You know,
we
that'll reel me in.
We literally mm-hmm. get like a, now how did I get in this situation? Let me take y'all back. Like kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's her situation. Like here's her childhood that she's kind of explaining to us. She was the daughter of a hardworking Black man. He worked for the city. Mm-hmm. He was a blue collar man. He worked hard to provide for his family. And her mama, she didn't say what her mama did she?
No, like, I just assumed she was like a stay at home mom.
That's interesting. Her mama wanted to live larger than they did. And okay, girl, whatever. This man was trying his best and she wasn't bringing in no money. So what Nicole was telling us was that her childhood, her mom would frequently leave her dad. And when they would, when she would leave him, she would be dating these other men. And it just was not a good environment for Nicole. But they would end up, you know, back in the house with her dad back eventually. Home. Very unstable childhood. You know?
Yeah.
So you get this kind of thing. Now, the question in the back of your head is, in the top of the exposition, she tells us that she is 29 years old and she's the CEO of a major record label. This is a record label with several Grammy-nominated artists, right? Grammy-winning artists, right? So I'm trying to figure it out. Because she's hinting that she inherited it, but I know her daddy didn't give it to her because he worked for the city.
For the city, exactly. Unless her mom, then I think, you know, because her mama was going back and forth with her daddy and these men who she thought were more successful and could provide the life that she wanted, maybe that was, you know, where the story could have gone. She then marries this wealthy person in the industry. And from there, Nicole gets her start in music. But we find out that she's a singer. And that's how her and her husband, because we get her love for music at the top of the film too, when she's a little girl, which was so cute. Love that little montage. Shout out to her best friend also.
Yeah.
Truly a for lifer. And, you know, we see from there, she meets her husband. They're doing their thing in the studio. Their love for music also is a huge part of their own just romantic love for each other. And we fast forward to a 29-year-old, well, I guess at this point, 26-year-old Nicole, who's married, before we get the successful 29-year-old her.
Married at 26. Oh, my, like what, like a child bride? Ooh. Oh, my God.
A child bride? I just turned 26, and my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God. To be married? Ooh, girl, you're getting up there, Sydney. Ooh. But look, to be married to be married at 26. Oh my God. I can't imagine.
It was hard enough to get kicked off of the family insurance, but to be in a wedding? Oh my God. I could. That's emotional trauma right there. Yeah, a wife? Not, too much.
Mm-mm, it's not for me. And I don't always say good things about Barack Obama, but like at least
give my man some credit.
At least he didn't put an age limit on the phone plans. You're right.
You know, you're right about that.
Ain't nothing I could do about that. I mean, I got my own health insurance anyway, but like, shit, ain't no.
The phone plan, can't fade it. I'm still in the family. Why can't I be on the family plan? That makes no sense to me.
That's what I'm saying. I'm still in the family. Thank you. Yes. So we're getting that. And I actually did like to see, because we can tell that she actually loved this guy. Jermaine is her husband's name?
Yep, Jermaine.
You know, at first. So we cut forward. Now, here's a, this is a TNCC, a New Chitlin Circuit deep cut I think we need to have right here. This is not a pop culture reference. This is for the longtime listeners, the longtime indie watchers would only get this reference. I do believe,
drop it in.
If I'm not mistaken, the setting where they are when she finds out that he's cheating on her, is that not the same set from Angrily Ever After when he brought home them chocolate-covered strawberries?
Them chocolate-covered strawberries? They were in D.C.
And they had Kenny Lattimore come sing?
Yep.
Was that not the same set? That looked like the same, like Row House. I'll have to verify, now that you bring but it looked the same.
Now that you bring it up, though, I can't deny that, I'm trying to, like, I'm re-jogging my memory for Angrily Ever After.
Because you come in, it's kind of got that catwalk, and you step down, and you had that same paint.
Yes.
I feel like that's the same set.
I think the difference, only because I had a hard time seeing that at first because in Angry Ever After, we see it at nighttime when he's trying to be sexy with it's the candles and stuff lit. Yeah. Nighttime, yeah, but during the day, yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right. That's a deep cut.
I think, yeah, that's you had to have been in this, you know? Yeah. So shout out to the long-term listeners. Way back.
That's season one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I saw that and was like, oh, look at that.
That was a good catch.
But thank you. I got my eye. You know, I have my third eye open when I watch these movies.
Wow, you're so woke.
Yeah. Hashtag we was
canned. Actually, you're probably right, because that boy, not that boy, the man, yes. Terrell Hill, he was also in Angrily Ever After. Remember when she was on her Shade Room, when she got her Shade Room job? He was one of the correspondents.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. He looked so familiar, and that makes sense now. Mm-hmm. Okay, connections.
Yep.
All right. So Jermaine walks in one day. This is, you know, a few years. A few years into a relationship. They're married now. They have a kid. And Jermaine walks into the house, and she's like, you know, why are you cheating on me? I've seen the text messages. Mm-hmm. He's denying it. So this is kind of what starts. What's implied is that that's where the dissolution of their marriage really began.
Yeah.
This infidelity on his part. We jump.
But it seemed to even have started earlier than that, because we find out during that like argument, she, for whatever reason, put her singing aspirations to the side, you know, to be a wife and mother and support his career of being a producer.
Yep. Yeah.
And it just so happens he's a decent producer. Cheating. Yeah, he is.
When he came in, he was telling her that he got a meeting with Kanye and that, like, you know, he was probably going to sell him some beats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, I need to figure out, how do we make this make sense to listen? Because there's a lot in this movie. This is as complicated as he said she said it was.
Yeah, so, for the connections.
Yeah. And check out our Instagram. Sydney makes a very helpful visual guide to all the connections in that movie.
Yes.
So here, what Nicole has done. Is it okay if I explain, like, you know, jump ahead a little, in the plot a little bit and explain
Please do. I think
what
it, Nicole did wrong? It's good for the listeners to hear about what happened. For them to understand without having a visual aid right now. But still, I recommend y'all still go and watch this movie because it was good.
Yeah. There's nothing I can tell you here to where you still won't be surprised when you watch the movie.
that's true.
Dramatic it is. So Nicole has had an affair with an old record label owner. Like, just imagine she had an affair with, like, Quincy Jones
LA
or something
Reed.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, L.A. Reid. Like, so she has an affair with an old guy. He owns a record label called Cole Records. She forges his signature on some insurance documents and essentially makes it so she will inherit his record label and not his own kids.
Drama.
Yeah, drama. So she's been running the label for a few years when we jump into the future. And she has this lawyer who's on her ass, who was the guy who was the deceased record label owner's old lawyer.
Mm-hmm. And he was also the witness to, like, the signing over, well, you know, what should have been a legal signing over of the business affairs. So he has all the dirt, but is also very much involved in all the dirt.
Yeah. So that's on the main front. Nicole is trying to stop from being found out because that's fraud.
Big time.
That's the biggest fraud of all. Like, that's fraud. And so that guy's kids is, like, on her ass, like, constantly being like, I need to see the document, show me the document. Like, I don't believe you. He would not not leave me nothing. Like, come on.
That's my daddy. That's what
she's my daddy
say.
Right,
that's my daddy.
So that's what Nicole is battling on one front. Right, on the other hand, this is the problem here, Sydney. Mm. She's not equipped to run a fucking record label. She's running it poorly. They are bouncing checks, barely able to pay their staff. And this is a record label. This is a major record label. You're running it into the ground.
Yeah. Why would she think they hadn't like been in the black since she took over? Like, this is terrible handling.
She had
business.
The game fucked up. And this is the problem with this 30 under 30 culture we have, which is she had the opportunity to forge herself some wealth, Right. Yep. So instead of just shuffling some stock shares over to herself, getting herself a voting power,
a voting seat on the board.
Yeah. In the board. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Instead of not us watching Succession and like having business degrees, but like Succession.
Forget the business degree, Succession.
Succession. Not only, why would she do that? Why would she want to have a job she's not qualified for? That's power. Stressful. Why would you choose labor?
It's all
labor?
About power.
Why would you choose labor?
It's all about power. I think, because we find out, like, the reason that she thought that the fraud was okay was because the former record label owner, Mr. Cole, had been sexually abusing her and other singers who I'm sure he had promised record deals to make you successful. Mm-hmm. He's doing nasty nigga stuff
these girls. Yeah.
You know, that they do. And she's like, well, I'm going to get mine. But she had no idea what it really meant to get hers and how to, one, keep that a secret and then do it successfully. She had the game messed up from the jump. From the moment she forged his name to the end of the movie. She had the game all the way messed up.
Yes. All the way turned upside, completely folded under. She had it completely folded under.
Like Nene said.
Yes. For the girls and the gays, y'all know what hand movement we're doing. Yeah. Yeah, so I just don't get. I would not choose labor in that situation.
I would not. Give me the easy money. Yeah.
So that's the predicament she done got herself in. So on one side, she's trying to stop from going to the jailhouse for fraud, and she's also on the other side, she's trying to run this huge business that she has no ability to run. Now on the third side, this is the third issue she has. This man at her house, who I don't understand how the movie just turns on its heel. The first thing we see is they lovey-dovey, and then we see that he messes it up by cheating on her.
Yeah,
then all of a sudden I'm supposed to feel
the bad
girl for him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
and he stops working.
He does, but then because I had to check myself, right? Because we get to a point where she's like abandoning her responsibilities as a mother, and he is like the sole caregiver for their child. And I go, that's a black king right there. And I had to check myself. So I said, wait a minute, because an hour ago, that black king cheated on my girl, and this is what caused all the ruckus. So I had to check myself.
And there's the double standard with parenthood. I think being absent as a parent and not being like your kid needs you every day, bro.
Yeah.
Being absent as a parent is bad. I'm team that's bad all the time.
Yeah.
But men get to clock in half the time. Like men who live in the house with their kids get to clock in half the time while the wife does all the work and they get held as good fathers. Whereas this black queen,
she working.
You know, is doing the same thing, working, providing the money for this big ass house, you know, and probably for that nice private school the kid is in.
Yep.
You know, so why can't the man just, if he gonna sit around all day anyway?
Right. You might as well, like, come on, make sure our child is okay and that I'm coming home. Yeah. Mama gotta work. Now, he know that.
I'm just joking. She needed to pull up.
She did. She wasn't being a very good parent those last 3 years of that year.
Yeah. It was messed up.
From stay at home mother to CEO, she really dropped off in the parent department.
Yeah, which is why I still don't understand why she chose labor. It makes no sense. Those are the three. This entire movie, Nicole is just playing whack-a-mole with her life. One thing pop up, she try and solve that, and another thing comes through. So she finds herself in an affair, another one, with this artist she wants to sign. This like
Kingston.
Internet artist Kingston, who would you liken him to? Like
I would liken him to, so like if Chris Brown debuted today as a TikTok star. Yeah. That's who Kingston is. Yeah. Like Chris Brown in his current form, like looks, all that stuff, his current body,
demeanor
and music, but also we know him because of TikTok. That's what I would liken him to.
Precisely. So yeah. This guy, he comes in and, you know, we're seeing the business deals go on. He signs with Cole Records, with Nicole's record label. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's making the music. We see this from a mile away. We know what's going to happen. They get a little intimate. You know, they start they start going past the professional boundaries.
They fly
to New York. And she's like,
and I just
drive.
Have one thing to say there, because that's when I knew that the cold open was going to be dedicated to my girl Cookie Lyon, because Cookie Lyon would never.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got to put Cookie first in this episode.
Put me first, Lucius.
Because Miss Mamas, you are the CEO. You do not sleep with your talent.
It doesn't make any sense. So here's what gets Miss Girl. She says, you know, we got a meeting in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll drive up, which is crazy talk. I don't get it. Especially if it's a day meeting and you need to be back in the evening.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to spend 8 hours on the road.
At best,
you can get on the Acela. But like,
we're flying, honey. Yeah. 45 minutes up and down. We're flying.
I'd get on the Acela, but you know, I like trains.
Oh. Yeah.
Can't help it. I'm gay. we love urban planning. So he says, no, we're going to get the G4.
G6.
He said 4, and this is how how I remember this, because when they get on the plane, they talking across the aisle because this plane only got one seat per aisle. And I said, get your man with the G6 so y'all can sit together.
Right. Get you a man with some real money.
That's funny because it's not something I would say. Like, I don't like private jets. I don't support it. But I mean,
that's more something I would say.
Yeah, my first thought was, this is why you need a man with a G6. G4? Are you crazy? Like, this is a fucking
minivan. It's a school bus? Like, what are we doing?
But the important part of this airplane scene, this made me think. This is another Taraji thing, her influence. This movie is like Acrimony plus Temptation.
Yes, Tyler Perry's Temptation. Yes. Why is Tyler Perry so deep and like his reach?
Yeah, his reach
is
too so
much. It's so because far. It's in everything.
Temptation has that airplane scene. And yep. This.
Well, my girl Journey got all the way caught up. I mean, she got caught up in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now the real important piece that we got from this flight to New York between Kingston and Nicole is when they're getting on the plane, Kingston sees one of the the folks who help you get on the plane.
Yeah.
Taking a concierge picture of them. Yeah. Maybe a concierge or something. I don't know what the title would be.
I don't know either. I've never flown private, but me either. Anyone who has, let us know.
If you've flown private, just DM me.
Please do. If you have access to a private jet, just.
Yeah.
I want to get on a PJ. Let me know.
I was just talking shit. I'll get on a G4.
I will be there.
Across the aisle. It's okay. Yeah. And Kingston snatches this guy's phone because he sees the like concierge guy taking a picture of them like on the low. He snatches the phone violently and says like, my phone now, nigga. Like, do y'all motherfucking job. Like, that's what he says.
Right, right.
So we see this guy's loose cannon.
A rat.
Yeah, this guy's, whoa, this is not a nice guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first drew my Chris Brown comparison. Yeah. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah,
he'll
turn on you at the drop of a dime.
That switch,
it's scary. So Miss Nicole, she should have seen red flags. She should have stopped what she was doing, but she did not. In fact, she escalated their relationship.
Yeah,
kissing across the aisle and stuff. That's when I said the G6 comment.
The G6,
you kissing across the aisle, it makes no sense.
Like, girl, you stretching your neck all out. If you don't, come on now. We can
like
move
do these
over.
Chairs swivel? Like, can we really spin around and look at each other? Oh, God. I was just like a fucking. You know,
not you were like literally disgusted at the thought of reaching across the aisle.
It would be one thing if he knew he was flying by himself, so he booked this plane.
Uh huh. Right.
But as soon as you invited her, you should have changed your reservation.
Make it more intimate. Uh-huh.
Like, you should have changed your charter. Like, I don't get it.
Well.
So, needless to say, they start fucking, and that's where that begins. I don't understand personally why, once again, oh my God, I just think Nicole's dumb. I think the character Nicole is just dumb.
She had everything. Just she was not here with us. I don't know what realm of possibility Nicole was living in. Because the movie is set in our universe, okay? So I don't know what universe Nicole is in, but she's not here with us. She didn't think like, nothing through the entire movie.
Ooh, that would be good if we set it in the post-blip Marvel universe. All the people who scammed their way into taking over something that a blipped away person had. So if he got snapped away by Thanos and she takes over the company.
And he comes back post.
A Marvel like hood, like indie.
I like
that. You think Disney interested?
You know, if they not Mr. Jamal, writer, director of this, you know, let us know if you need some extra screenwriters on this.
We're good. We'll participate. So Miss Nicole, she just bad decision left and right. And I was going to say, I don't understand what she sees in this guy. He's not like, maybe.
But then that's where you draw the comparison between like her and her mother. Her mom wanted some man who she thought could give her more and like, you know, be a status symbol. And Kingston is like that for Nicole.
Yeah.
So it's apples and apples.
Nicole is what I think James Brown was thinking about when he wrote This is a Man's World. Yes, because she literally, she just, if you replaced her character and you just, it was Nicholas and it was a man, all of this stuff would make sense. Like, okay, your girl do you wrong once, you just keep her around to watch the kids. Then you snake your way into owning something big, something you cannot do, but you have the confidence that you can do it. Then you fuck a hot new artist just because she turned you on. Like, it matches.
I was going to say, and when you put it in that perspective, I can't even be mad at Nicole no more.
And that's what I'm saying.
I can't even be mad at you. Like,
that's why I called her a black queen.
Yeah, that's a black queen right there.
To infinity, to infinity. Yes. Now, Miss Mom, she had a couple of loose light bulbs up top, but like,
she did.
I loved the energy. So
yes, because she was really on her like her black girl magic boss move status. At least she thought she was. You know, she showed up to the office in the power suit. She got like, well, her titties was out in one of the scenes, which I thought was a lot, like for the office.
Well, now that you brought it up, here's what I want to say. This actress, what's her name? KJ Smith.
KJ
right?
Smith. Now, before you go, I do what you gonna do. Actually, no, I'm gonna let you do what you gonna do. I'll give you the.
The information now, and I'll make my decision accordingly.
Our good sis recently got engaged now over the holidays, so she is with a betrothed to be married in the near future. Okay, right, I'm just saying.
Be respectful.
Yeah,
she's a very beautiful woman.
I agree.
She, what's the respectful way to say body is banging? How would you say that respectfully? Give me a synonym.
I don't know. A synonym
outrageous.
For banging?
Outrageous.
You sounded like Lil Jon right now.
That was, what?
Outrage. I'm sorry. The Yin Yang Twins.
I love the Yin Yang Twins. Sorry, I love it. What a compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't know. Do people still say physique? I don't know, Alexis, because we know when I'm talking
about
boys.
Absolutely bananas. Okay. Yeah. I'll just leave it there. She fine.
There you go. I think that's respectful.
I didn't have a problem with that wardrobe issue in that scene.
I didn't have a problem with the wardrobe. I just thought, but girl, you on your big girl boss moves.
Fuck it.
You never know if you're secure or not. Like, the fit was cute. It was super cute. Like, that's the ombre pink. That ombre pink suit was so cute. But, like, a nip slip in the office?
That's power. Because you let people know, I don't give a fuck.
I guess.
I'm here titties and all. Yeah, I'm here titties and all. You bitches, you put on your turtlenecks. I run this shit. Right. If I want to have this meeting with both my titties out, I'm going to do it. That's power. Where's right. your, you are not in your feminist bag
you're
today.
Right, you're right. You're right. You know what, Nicole? It was cute, sis. It was cute. Shout out to the hair, makeup, and wardrobe team. It was cute. Okay. I'm going to leave it at that.
So now the convergence of these three issues she's dealing with. I'm trying to sound serious again after the sentences I just said. Yeah. The convergence where all these three conflicts meet for her, you know, the fraud, the mm-hmm. failing business, and yeah. the failing
marriage and the affair.
Yeah. Where all that come together, because she getting it from all sides, is she has yeah. an event. It is the 20-year anniversary for Cole Records. Like I said, this is an established record label. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big event. There's a lot of people yeah. here. And shout out to Ginuwine. He was in the building.
Yeah, he was there. Ginuwine yeah. or Ginuwine.
Looking very good. He must be tired to be sexy for 30 years.
I don't know, for this long. Like, how does he keep it up? Like,
come on. I've only been sexy for like 25 years. I can't imagine. And that's just me. I'm just counting from the beginning of his career. I'm sure he was sexy before then.
Sexy before that. Yeah. Before he was what we know as yeah. Ginuwine, I'm sure he was sexy before that.
Yeah, he's got to be tired.
Yeah.
Well, he was there looking good as ever. And so they're mm-hmm. at this party and all three of her conflicts is present. The lawyer yes. who keeps harassing her showing up, played by the creepiest actor. I love this guy.
I love him. He said one yeah. line ahead when he's like calling her, blowing her phone up, like about to expose her. He ends the phone call. And I hate that lipstick. You look like a fucking prostitute. Fell out. Why would you end a phone call like that?
Because you just, that's how you really, men think, like, that's not, you know, saying, like, the way men argue with each other is just not as effective against women. You gotta say some shit mm-hmm. that make a bitch be like,
that's true. Damn.
Yeah, like, if you yeah. wanna really cuss, like, you really wanna that's cuss true. Somebody out, you got, and I noticed that you switch which side of your head you put your part on. I'm not saying it don't look good. Mess. I'm just telling you that I noticed.
That's right.
It's noticeable.
You know, you're right. Because even there was a video going around like last year, year before last, Tabitha mm-hmm. Brown and her husband, they're like doing some intro to a clip. Uh-huh. And Tab was trying to show like the waves in her hair. Her husband's hating uh-huh. big time. Like, them ain't waves. And she goes, you know, check it out. And he goes, that's why your part crooked. Why would you and say that to her?
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Because it was crooked. And but what's fucked up is like she had a tight low bun. You can't right. fix
you
your
can't
part
because
she probably greased his hair down.
Yes.
You can't fix the part.
That's going to be like that. That's
all
it.
Day. It's stuck like that. And she can't wear that bun tomorrow. She has she to can't. Take it down tonight.
And you know what, Tab? If this ever comes across your desk, Miss mm-hmm. Tab, put some respect on your name. Mm-hmm. I thought your waves were swimming in that
I
video,
thought they were
personally.
Absolutely just drowning.
I was seasick yeah. looking at it. That's mm-hmm. all I got to say.
Mm-hmm. So... He is this lawyer, this very rude lawyer is there, eyeballing
Walter.
Her. Walter, yeah. that's his name. And the daughter of the man she stole his company from is there, yep. Alicia.
Alicia. Mm-hmm.
And of course, her artist is there. Is Kingston there. Is there.
And her husband.
Her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But she has to come to the event with her husband. So now all her problems is here in this one room.
In one room.
I Imagine. Thought. The camera work was very good, like constantly I making agree. Sure we see them, like because yeah. I understood the gravity of the situation, you yeah. know.
And I want to give KJ some credit too, because you can see the stress and anxiety yeah. just all up in her face and her body yeah. language throughout this entire scene. It all came through for me. So
yeah,
great directing, yeah. Jamal to really get that out of Miss KJ, and I, the mm-hmm. camera work was great as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Now she ends up, now she knew what the hell she was doing. She ends up charged, like, putting a battery in Kingston's back and mm-hmm. telling him that Walter needs to be handled. So it, yep. essentially. Now you know this nigga crazy.
As hell.
You know, if you know, ladies, if you know you got a crazy nigga. You handle your conflicts on your own, okay?
Yeah, and in private. Don't bring the general public into that, because then we all get hurt.
We all get hurt when you and your loose cannon, I mean boyfriend, are out on the streets trying to get it back in blood instead of talking stuff
through. Yeah.
So this is how we find her. This is how we find ourselves in a situation where we see her early in the movie where somebody got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And going to the jailhouse. So Walter, he done got himself abducted by Kingston. Y'all said it crazy. Filled out every space on the bingo board. I said that.
You did. You said it up front. You did.
I said that. So Kingston shoots him because Walter was talking shit. He said his shoes was ugly, and they was.
They was, but that was the last straw.
Yeah.
Walter had a way with words.
He did.
And I like that a lot about his character.
Yeah.
He had a way with words.
So he dies, and the problem with it is now Nicole is just carrying on about life. Just continuing
as
to
if
go
she
to work.
Wasn't technically an accessory to a murder.
Instead of reporting this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, frankly, the problems with Walter dead, Nicole is in a better position. Because now she does, now the secret is
she doesn't have a witness. Yeah.
Yes. And now, like, it's bad for business that your biggest star is now going to
a murderer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it might not be bad for business. I mean, you look at Tay K.
In terms
of record sales.
Yeah, you're right.
It wasn't bad for business, but he can't make no more records though. It's the problem.
Yeah. And I don't know if that I guess Kingston was technically a rapper, but he looks like an R&B nigga. So like for R&B stars, if you kill somebody, it's over for you.
I
guess if you that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. He was a rapper, so then you're right. It's probably okay for business.
Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why she didn't report him, like, say, oh my God, I just witnessed the murder.
I would run out to the car, baby, let me go get my gun. Let me go get my gun.
Yeah, I'm going to get my strap.
911? It's a crazy nigga in here. He got a gun. He got my lawyer tied up. And I think he did. And I'm fleeing the scene.
You run the risk of somebody uncovering something in the investigation. But the thing is, you cannot get rid of a body.
Somebody dead.
So the best thing you could do is spin it for your potential. I'm speaking fictionally.
Yes. No, we do not support murder.
No, don't kill nobody or be in the room. Don't do that.
Don't do that, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, thing, of course it comes out because you can't hide that. And
the body always shows up.
He wears, he shoots this guy, and then he shows up to Nicole's office still wearing the shoes that he shot this guy, he had blood all over him. Yeah, come on.
And if it's one thing I learned from The Wire, outside of how to run a successful drug empire and how to actually tap a wire to catch said empire, when the body start dropping, follow him. That's how we get our guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They was crazy for that.
It was.
But yeah, so he gets caught, and the thing is, it all ends up coming out because Kingston is the one that drops the dime on her, because Kingston is the son of
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Crazy.
What? I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming, but I thought, I knew he was involved in a plot to get in a scheme to get Alicia back the label. But then
they have a
conversation. He gets those papers out of Nicole's in the office. He meets up with Alicia. But then prior to that, when him and Nicole are just like on their cutesy dates, they're in like a park somewhere. He's asking her all these very weird questions, like, "Oh, so how'd you like?" He asked her directly, "How did you acquire the label? Like, what was your business with Mr. Cole? He didn't have any kids. He didn't want to leave it to the kids." And I go, "Oh, this nigga shady. He knows something."
Oh, I didn't even clock that. I was like, "Oh, he wanted to get to know her."
Yeah, no. He was trying to get the ins and outs of how she got this label. I just didn't know that he was a relative who was snubbed from his father's legacy.
Yeah, see. And it just don't make sense logically, because somebody with that big of a net worth and a company that has a big company like that has a board, you know, there are shareholders. It's not a public company, but there are still people who own shares.
There's a process in place. Yeah.
Yeah. And anybody with that much money, it takes years sometimes to parse out who gets what. And like, if you have a new somebody off the street who is getting the inheritance, that raises a lot of questions.
Truly.
I don't even know how she. If she got was smart,
that's what I'm saying. At the most, assign yourself as interim CEO of Cole Records, and you know, as interim CEO, you and the board then figure out along. Yeah. You know, I'm sure his kids have some stake in the company as well. If he was smart, you know, but you still the CEO. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't even did that. I would have been a head of a department that didn't even exist, and let everything keep on running. I would be coming in. Mm-hmm, I got the reports. Mm-hmm. It's just stock images.
That's it.
That's what I would have did.
Smart.
Yeah. Well, and that's how it goes. She ends up going to the clink.
Yeah.
Going to the big house.
She's in the pokey.
Yeah, in the pokey because she was wrong, and you can't be both.
And, and all along the FBI was on her ass anyway. Knew something was wrong. This don't make no sense.
Now we must say that we didn't talk about the plot line. Well, it wasn't a whole lot of plot line there, but Clifton Powell, we finally see him as a good guy. He's a preacher. Kind of, I assume he looks like a preacher.
He wasn't a preacher,
churchy guy.
Churchy guy, voice of reason, good grandpa, good father, wanted his daughter to be better, and she couldn't see that at the time.
Clifton Powell and his agent have a lot of work to do to undo the perception that all of Black America has about him on screen.
Yes.
If I saw Clifton Powell in person, I would zip my jacket up. I would
It's unfortunate,
myself.
But it's true. I would.
I'd be having to say to myself, just an actor. Just an actor. But it's hard to do so.
Sometimes it is. Yeah, you play so many slimy guys. Just like, come on, Cliff.
Dang. The guy who played Charles in
Charles McCarter?
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Mad Black Woman. Uh-huh.
If I saw that actor in person, I would flinch when he reached for his cell phone.
Yep.
Don't hit me. I would fucking flinch.
Actually, if I saw him, I think I'd go. I would probably walk up to him. Christina.
Christina's
gone. Feed him. Bathe him.
Fell out. She goes, oh. And you know what's funny? She cleared out your makeup. You was trying to keep it from me.
From me and your little tramp.
I gotta rewatch that again. Oh, Lord. You keep eating that damn salad.
That dry ass salad, she hit that damn plate so hard with that fork.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Kimberly Elise, that's a Black American treasure right there.
Now, like I said, Clifton Powell, we finally get to see him be a positive character in a movie. I'm happy for him, but he's got a lot more good guy roles he should be. I love romance movies and rom-coms where the love interests are older. Like, of course I like seeing 25-year-olds, you know, stumble through romance. I love it.
Yeah.
But like that movie Juanita we watched with Alfre Woodard.
Oh yeah. He would have been good in something like that.
Yeah. I would love to see Clifton Powell and a Black woman, you know, meet each other later in life, you know, and do love.
We see their love. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be nice for him. Because he's a good looking man. There's no reason why he can't like be in a romance movie. Maybe that'll help with the image.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to shout him out because he did good in this movie.
He did.
Now I want to ask you a question, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Who came to act?
You know, I think this week I don't know if you're going to accept this pick or not. Mm. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's my nomination. But this person's probably kind of coming in under the radar. I think you probably don't, you won't expect this pick. So for this week's Who Came to Act Award nominee, for any new listeners, every single week I nominate someone for this award. And this is the person who I think this actor left it all on the screen, simply put. They really gave it to me throughout the film. And for this week's nominee, I would like to nominate Mr. Roger Gunvare Smith, who played Walter, the attorney. He really delivered a lot of those lines for me when he was, I don't know if his character was supposed to be an alcoholic or like snorting coke. I couldn't tell. But either way, he seemed intoxicated and it was great. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it should be no surprise. Because he's not in the studio with us today, I accept that on his behalf wholeheartedly. I really like this actor. When I saw him on screen, I was like, oh, wait. Like, the way he's creeping me out, I've been creeped out before. Where have I seen him? And he's actually been in a lot of Spike Lee productions. I suppose they're close. I always like to see him on screen. He has a very unique talent. And I'm glad that he, like, uses it and gives it to us. Yes. Let's watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to you, Mr. Roger. This week, you got it. And I do want to quickly shout out, because this is a movie that both of us really like too. Jamal Hill, the director for this, he also directed Brotherly Love. And it's a movie that we wanted to review, but since it came out in 2016, we wanted to keep the picks fresh. So I'm glad
that came out before then.
Was it 2014?
That movie came out like before. I thought I was a teenager when that movie came out.
We were teenagers in 2016.
Girl, we was 20 years old.
Yikes. Hold up. 2015. 19.
Oh, okay. Man, I don't know why I remember it being earlier.
So shout out to you, director, writer of The Available Wife, Mr. Jamal Hill. Really enjoyed this pick this week. And we're a fan of yours. You have some great fans here. So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get on out of here.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for listening. To join in on the conversation, follow us on Twitter at TNCCpod and on Instagram at New Chitlin Circuit. And that's spelled CHITLIN. And for the latest and greatest, check out our website at thenewchitlincircuit.com.